Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Lord our God, you gave the human race eternal salvation through the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Grant that we may experience the help of her prayers in our lives, for through her we receive the very author of life, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Judith. All the people were greatly astonished. They bowed down and worshiped God, saying with one accord, "Blessed are you, our God, who today have brought to naught the enemies of your people." Then Uzziah said to her, "Blessed are you, daughter, by the Most High God, above all the women on earth, and blessed be the Lord God, the Creator of heaven and earth, who guided your blow at the head of the chief of our enemies. Your deed of hope will never be forgotten by those who tell of the might of God. May God make this redound to your everlasting honor, rewarding you with blessings, because you risked your life when your people were being oppressed, and you averted our disaster, walking uprightly before our God." And all the people answered, "Amen, amen." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Merciful to every creature. The Lord is merciful to every creature. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. I will bless you day after day, and praise your name forever and ever. The Lord is merciful to every creature. Age to age shall proclaim your works, shall declare your mighty deeds. They will tell of your great glory and splendor, and recount your wonderful works. They will speak of your awesome deeds, recount your greatness and might. The Lord is merciful to every creature. The Lord is kind and full of compassion, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. How good is the Lord to all, compassionate to all his creatures. The Lord is merciful to every creature. Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Believing that the promises of the Lord would be fulfilled. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Pretty difficult years for me. I had three surgeries as part of my treatment for cancer, and I spent a total of 10 days in the hospital. From my hospital bed, I had a clear view of a cross with the risen Jesus attached hanging on the wall. I suspect that many of you have seen these before, and perhaps you may have one hanging in your own home. If you do have one, please don't be offended, but I find them to be problematic. I understand that they are a product of artistic license, but I object to them for both personal and theological reasons. Personally, I don't find the image to be a source of comfort. I know it's intended to be that way. As I was lying in bed with staples from my chest to below my belt and taking opioids for the pain, a smiling, resurrected Jesus floating on the cross really didn't do very much for me. I would argue that when we human beings are suffering, we need a God who is on our side. Looking at the innocent Jesus struggling on the cross with open wounds and a bent body gives me a sense of communion with him. It tells me that Almighty God, the Word made flesh, is in solidarity with me and my suffering. He knows what I am going through because he himself endured something even greater. It is very human to want others to be in solidarity with us when we suffer. Imagine a parent whose toddler dies in an accident, and the neighbor finds out about it and tells the parents in kind of a sing-songy voice, "Oh, it's going to be fine. God must have needed another rose for his garden." Now, that is kind of an absurd example, but it illustrates the point that when we suffer, we need the company of those who will suffer with us and not try to paint over the pain with things like pious platitudes. Ask anyone who is in recovery from addiction to be able to go to a group with others who know firsthand the slavery of addiction. That is a tremendous source of comfort for people. Solidarity. And I think I'm in pretty good company in my opposition to the resurrected Christ floating on the cross. None other than Pope Francis has encouraged Catholics to recover the tradition of meditating on the five wounds of Christ. Those five wounds are pictured on the cover of your programs tonight. They're those deep wounds, which include the torn flesh in both of his hands, so that's two. The torn flesh in both of his feet, that's four. And the gash in his side is five. Throughout his pontificate, the Pope has referred to the five wounds, both in formal addresses and in impromptu comments, so much so that it seems to be a major focus, probably, of his own personal prayer life. In one of his talks, he said, "Sometimes artists want to focus more on Jesus' post-resurrection glory. But when one is feeling lost or frightened or in pain," he said, "look at a crucifix before the glory and recognize how Jesus annihilated himself to defeat evil and death." Meditating on the five wounds of Christ helps us to enter through his wounds and arrive deeper and deeper into his heart. The Holy Father said, "Enter into his wounds and contemplate the love in his heart for you, for me, and for everyone." Saint Faustina Kowalska, the Polish nun who spoke of divine mercy, wrote in her diary that Jesus told her this: "When it seems to you that your suffering exceeds your strength, contemplate my wounds." Then we have the famous prayer, the Anima Christi, which focuses on the Passion of Christ with these lines: "Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me." That phrase, "within your wounds, hide me," I think can be a great source of meditation and personal prayer. Looking at the crucifix. "Within your wounds, Lord, hide my pain, hide my fear. Within your wounds, Lord, hide my worries and my shame and my regrets." In reference to the Lord on the cross, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux said this: "Where have your love, your mercy, your compassion shone out more luminously than in your wounds, sweet, gentle Lord of mercy?" There is something very human, and I guess this is my bottom line point, there's something very human and personal about the crucifix, something that speaks to my heart in a way that the floating, resurrected Jesus over the cross does not. In addition to, I guess, my own personal objections to what a priest friend calls the resurrexufix, I also have some that are theological. In our Catholic biblical and spiritual tradition, the sign of the resurrected Lord is not his floating, clothed body on the cross. Instead, the signs of sacrifice on the resurrected Lord were what? They were his five wounds. The marks of the nails and the opening in his side, not a cross behind him, which is biblically, historically, and liturgically incorrect. Think of St. Thomas the Apostle, the doubting apostle, and his encounter with the risen Christ. He said, "I will not believe until I touch the nail marks in his hands and place my fingers in his side." St. Thomas Aquinas argued that Jesus kept his scars after the resurrection, which I have always thought a little odd. Jesus' resurrected body had the scars of the crucifixion. And St. Thomas said that he kept his scars after the resurrection, not from an inability to heal them, but to wear them as an everlasting trophy of his victory. And likewise, St. Augustine said, "Perhaps in the kingdom we shall see on the bodies of the martyrs the traces of the wounds which they bore for Christ's name, because it will not be a deformity, but a dignity in them, and a certain kind of beauty will shine in them." Thought about that, of seeing the someone like St. Blaise that we celebrated the first night. Remember, he was tortured, and then they cut off his head. Just as I've meditated, I thought about St. Blaise in heaven with a thin white scar around his neck, a sign of dignity and triumph. The scarred body of the resurrected Jesus is manifested at the Easter Vigil, when the priest takes the newly lit paschal candle and uses small nails to pierce the wax with 5 grains of incense. And as he inserts those nails, which you can see on our paschal candle by the baptismal font, there's 5 of them, as he inserts those nails, he prays, "By his holy and glorious wounds, may Christ our Lord guard and keep us." In a few moments, we will have the opportunity once again to recreate the Good Friday veneration of the cross. St. Gertrude once wrote, "Every time anyone kisses the crucifix or looks at it with devotion, the gaze of the Blessed Trinity is fixed upon that soul. And at the same moment, a wondrous beauty is added to that soul, and a reward treasured for endless glory." I hope this doesn't happen, but if ever I have to have a planned surgery again, I'm packing in my little carry-on a real crucifix to hang in the room when they're not looking. And I'm going to do that because I want to be reminded of my solidarity with the suffering Christ. I want to hide my pain in his wounds. And I want the gaze of the Blessed Trinity fixed upon my soul.
Thank you.
O Blessed Virgin Mary, we thank and praise you for your appearance to the child Bernadette in the Grotto of Lourdes, where you declared to her and the world, I am the Immaculate Conception. By appearing in the grotto, you made it a privileged sanctuary where many have obtained miraculous cures for physical and spiritual infirmities. O loving Mother of us all, you know our wants, our troubles, and our sufferings. We come before you with the complete confidence to implore your maternal intercession. Obtain for us, O sweet Mother, the granting of our request. Please help my brother John to find a better job, something not harmful to his health. Thank you. For the healing of a friend who suffers from debilitating anxiety, that she find a job that allows her to regain confidence. For the healing from crippling chronic illness. For the healing of Rush Limbaugh from cancer of the lungs. Healing of our nation. For all victims of human trafficking. For healing from a recent surgery. For all the nurses, nursing aides, and all caregivers, please give us more strength, more patience, and keep us safe from contagious diseases. Pray for us, our dear Blessed Mother. I pray for my stepson. He has a severe brain injury and can't hold a job. He's always moments from the street. I pray for his healing and our better relationship. For a family involved in Satan worship, for complete deliverance and turning completely to God. My only sister, who is in comfort care at Sacred Heart Hospital, may she escape to your loving arms. For these and all the intentions we bring to this novena, O Blessed Lady of Lourdes, Mother of Christ, you had influence with your divine Son while upon the earth. You have that same influence now in heaven. Pray for us that we may obtain from your divine Son our special requests, but only if they be in accord with his holy will. We make this petition to the same Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Our Lady of Lourdes, Saint Bernadette. At this time, we'll have the veneration of the cross. We'll come forward as you would for Holy Communion in the center aisle here. I invite you to do that two by two in the interest of time. Bow, genuflect, or touch the cross, and then return to your place. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this time of prayer and ask that you help us to imitate the life and virtue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that we may be true disciples of Christ, eagerly hearing his words and putting them into practice. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just a reminder now that we're into the weekend, the services on Saturday and Sunday are at 4 p.m. So tomorrow, 4 p.m. at the Vigil Mass, we'll incorporate the novena with the Vigil Mass so you can kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. 4 o'clock tomorrow, and then 4 o'clock on Sunday. Tomorrow, the novena service will focus on St. Peregrine, the patron saint of cancer patients. And I will be preaching, we'll be distributing St. Peregrine medals. If you know someone who's suffering from cancer and they can be here tomorrow night, that would be great. Or someone who's recovered as an act of thanksgiving. So tomorrow night, the focus is on the healing from cancer. Sunday at 4 p.m., we will have salt blessed. And distributed. We have vials, but you could also bring salt from home on Sunday. That Father Barnett, who's our director of the Office of Spiritual Healing, will be here, and he will bless all that salt. Salt is used as a defense against Satan and demons. We will be distributing it, but again, you can bring your own Sunday at 4. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.